What is up, our friends from the internet? This is the Tech Yeah Games podcast once again coming at you. It's finally November. The spookiness is behind us. Thank God.
Well, I don't know about that.
Thank
it's always God. Spooky in my life.
The spooks are gone. Now we got election spooks coming up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's even spookier.
The in true November. Spookiness.
The spookiest. I'm here with my amazing co-host, Leo. How you doing over there, Leo?
I'm good, man. I'm happy to be here. I had a fun Halloween. And I'm happy to talk about some games.
What'd you do for Halloween?
I went on a night hike by myself in the woods. And I heard a really scary animal. I think it was like a screeching owl or something, but it sounded like a person screaming. It really did. And I was alone in the woods, and I was like, whoa, this is definitely an unnerving Halloween experience. I was totally fine.
That sounds really scary.
I was definitely freaked out. It was awesome.
I called the cops on my neighbors last night.
Were they having a party, or were they just too, they were just being too scary?
They were just blasting fireworks at fucking midnight, dude. I was so bent. Like,
yeah, that sucks. It's like, and also fireworks are not associated with Halloween. Like, what do you mean?
No, so they had like a, you know, they like went all out in their yard and they had people coming by, and it's like, for one, that's probably a bad idea right now, but whatever. Like, I'm not a
right.
I'm not Buzz Killington, all right? Like, I'm chill. I'm cool, man. Like,
yeah.
So they were doing that, and you know, it's fine. And you know, they didn't have fireworks all night, and then I finally go to bed at like 11. And literally from like 11 to midnight, it's just nonstop fucking firework.
It's well, they like, knew that they were waiting for you to go to bed. They were like, oh, he's asleep. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I even fell asleep for a while. And then like a big one went off, and it literally woke me up. My dog just jumped off the bed and jumped into the bathtub. It was running around like it literally just like everyone was spooked. And I was just like, enough's enough. And I called the cops on him. Yeah. Fuck those guys.
Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck them. Like, yeah, how? What a shitty neighbor to be like.
It doesn't get much worse than that. Yeah, like honestly,
what a shitty neighbor. So I did end up being a buzzkill, but yeah. So Halloween was fun. Other than that part of it, nice. But you know, we're not here to talk about festivities. Okay.
No. We're here to talk about business.
The business of video games.
Yeah.
And Leo, what video games did you get down to business with this nice. Week?
I actually played a lot of games, quite a few. It was fun.
So did I. But,
nice. I'll stick to a few. I played a little bit more VR. I had to write some articles about it, so I kind of overdid for a little bit, but I'm looking forward to getting back into it. I did play Pistol Whip, which was pretty cool. Have you tried that yet?
I have not.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's kind of like if you combine like Beat Saber with, what's it called, Super Hot? So it's like a gun action game, and it's like kind of pulsing to the music, and you're kind of running through, and there's all these different, you know, it looks kind of like Super Hot, a little more stylized, a little more colorful. It's not like, you know, genre defining or anything, but it's pretty cool. It's definitely fun. It's a great example. Like if it's on sale for $10, I'd highly recommend it. It's pretty good, especially if you like electronic music. I experimented some more with some different apps and whatnot, but mostly I played what did we call them last week? Boring ass 2D games.
Oh,
on a flat screen.
Why, dude? Why would you do that?
Because, like I said, I overdid my brain for a little bit, but I'll get back into it. But what I did play a lot of was I played the Dishonored expansion, Death of the Outsider, which is really awesome. I won't talk too much about it because I know I've burned out my Dishonored talk. But it's a really cool, different kind of take on it. And I do like that concept. We've talked about it before, sort of micro games. It's not a micro game, but where they're like, you know what? There's some more shit we want to do, but we didn't want to make a whole game. So we'll just make half a game and charge $30. And I think that's a pretty compelling business proposition. Like, I have no problem with them doing that, you know? They used to do that. You remember Brood War?
Oh, yeah, Brood War. That was a thing. I remember that one.
Yeah, or even Lords of Destruction. I mean, expansion packs were fun.
Yeah.
And this is sort of like mid between a DLC, but it was way too big to be DLC. But they kind of like used it as an opportunity to wrap up the lore and tried some experiments with the gameplay. It was really neat.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah, of course.
After all your talk last week, I played some Dishonored 2.
Nice. Oh my God, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear about it.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
I mean, no, it was fine. I'll talk about it right now since we're on the
subject. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I do look forward to hearing about it.
I think I'm starting to get like really apathetic towards like the onboarding in games. You know what I mean? Like that first 40 minutes in any game, like really seems to like hook me or not. And, you know, like No Man's Sky, I kind of really fell off of in the first 40 minutes because it really is like, you don't do any of the fun stuff in the beginning, right? You like, yeah. It's like, oh, your suit's going to die. You better collect some stuff. And you're like, totally. Okay, I did that. It's like, oh, you better fix this thing. You better go collect some other stuff. And you're just like walking back and forth.
Yeah.
And Dishonored wasn't that bad, right? And in some ways it was cool, but you know, I really felt like they didn't tell me how they wanted me to play the game, right? Like, which I think was fine when I was like, so I went through the intro and, you know, I'm breaking out of the house or whatever after the shit goes down.
Yeah.
And that part's all fine. And then I get out to the city streets. Yeah. Right. And this is still the very beginning, right? Yeah. I'm not saying
I remember. I just did it like three times. So
I'm not saying I gave it a fair chance or anything.
Yeah.
But I get out of the city streets and I sneak up on a guy and I kill him. And it's like every time I'm alerting everybody and, which means I'm probably doing it wrong or maybe I'm not. And, you know, when I get into this kind of melee combat with everybody, like, I don't feel very strong, right? You know what I mean? In that sense. Yeah. So I'm just like, oh, well, now I'm just dying. Like, I'm just trying to block all the shit and it's not working. And, yeah. You know, I did it a couple times and kind of like was like, I'm doing this wrong, obviously, but I'm not really going to figure out how to do it right. You know, like, I don't know if that's a great like view to have of it. I think it's just me being older and more cynical towards games, but I'm just like, if they're not going to show me how to do this, I'm not going to like figure it out, you know? And so I just kind of fell off and played something else, but, I do think the game is neat. I think the world is neat. And I think the characters are cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just sort of like, I don't know. Maybe I'll come back later. You know, like.
No, I mean, I hear you. I mean, yeah, I guess I would say in the game's defense, obviously. And like, I think you said it really well. Like, it just didn't hook you. And obviously, you know, there's a lot to the game. And it's not because it's a bad game. You were just playing it in a way that you weren't enjoying. Which obviously is not the game's fault. But I totally hear you. That's happened to me, too. In fact, it happened with the game I'll talk about here shortly. But I hear you. On the first level and the tutorial levels of all the Dishonored games are, you know, by far the least interesting because, yeah, I mean, it's a stealth game, so you're supposed to be sneaking around, especially in the beginning, because you don't have any powers or any ability. And then the way the game works is it gives you abilities, and that really allows you to play the game however you want. So if you want to go super stealth, you can. If you want to be an incredibly aggressive attack person with, like, superpowers and shadow powers, you can also do it that way, or you can do any combination of the above.
Yeah, I think I'm really over these games that, like, start you off so broken, you know what I mean? Like, in such a feeble state. Because well,
that's a lot of games.
It is a lot of games. It's most games, you know what I mean? And, like, I'm just really, like, tiring of it, you know what I mean? Like, I want to do cool things, like, from the get-go. And, sure, maybe not in the first 10 minutes, but in the first 30 minutes, like, I want exciting, cool things to happen. And I really feel like that's not, I feel like there's this narrative pull to not do that. Right. Like it somehow it defies the intended narrative of the game, but I just want to have fun, bro. You know what I mean? Like my whole goal is to like, let's get into this and do some fun shit. And
I hear you. I mean, I think that's a pretty common refrain. I think a totally valid one. Like, I think there's a lot of people who only play multiplayer games for that reason. They're just like, dude, I don't fucking care about this shit. I just want to play the game, which I think is not at all me on any level, but I totally do understand it. Like, I understand the idea of like, and I don't think you're taking it this far, but kind of the logical conclusion of that is like, yeah, when I play a game, I want to actually play it and do something awesome and like get to the game immediately, not play like a neutered like 20% version of the game until the narrative justifies me like having fun.
Yeah, and even if it's not the whole shebang, right? Like, even games like Persona and stuff, like, for one, you get to start the game with everything, right?
And yeah, that is kind of a clever workaround where they, like, show you what you're going to be doing and then take it all away. It's a little bit cheap, but at least it kind of gives you a sense of what's happening.
And also, like, you know, there's no fighting in Persona without personas, right? So, like, the first time you enter combat, it's like, here's Arson, like...
Yeah.
Do it. And yeah, it's not the most involved fighting, but at least you're not like, all you have is your auto attack. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, no, totally.
Like, you know, I think there's ways to give people enough to be like, nah, this is chill. But yeah, just being like, well, here's the gun. That's pretty cool. And you're like, you know, the gun's really just getting me killed. You know what I mean? Like, the gun's just ruining this. It's not helping. you know, because everyone sees you as soon as you shoot somebody, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, there she is.
Yeah, so, but I do think they are saying, like, hey, in the beginning, before you have all the powers, it's supposed to be played as a stealth game.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think that I agree, too. It's like, sneak out and escape. And it's like, so why the gun? I can't stealth with a gun. You know what I mean? Like, or like, why not give me one stealth move, right? Like, to really, like, imply, like, that's what it is. Like, you know, give me, like, if you do this, you can do, like, you know, some special stealth move and, you know, just lean on this for this part instead of, like, instead of really teaching you how to, really what they teach you ahead of that. And I'll be honest, a lot of spikes I didn't play Dishonored 1. You know what I mean?
Certainly, so part of it, for sure. But yeah, I hear you.
I think a lot of it would be like, you played the first one, you're getting the second one, you know the rules here, you know what you're getting yourself into. You know, but before that, all they teach you in the tutorial is, one, how to move around.
Yeah.
And two, the large majority is how to, like, sword fight and counter and, you know, and kill, right? They're not like, here's all the ways to stealth through groups of people. You know what I mean? It's like, here's how to get into melees and fight, you know? Yep. So, you know, I don't think they do a great job of, like, leading you, like, pulling you down the right path. But regardless, I think that all defies a thing, like we said earlier. I just feel like there's just not enough, there's not enough power fantasy, I think, involved in that first part, or not enough kind of teasing for what's to come.
I think that makes sense. And, you know, the narrative justification is a valid one, I think, where you're supposed to feel very disempowered, especially after the first one, where you're supposed to feel really empowered by the end. You know, I get it, what they're trying to do. But I also totally hear what you're saying, which is, like, it's just not that fun. And what's interesting about the game is, it, you know, it becomes so fun. And it becomes so much of, like, if you want to be violent and kill everyone, you absolutely can. And the game does not in any way punish you for doing that. In fact, it encourages it. Just like it encourages pretty much every style of play, which is what's so extraordinary about it. They're just these giant, like, puzzle boxes that you can find solutions a million different ways, and they're all equally valid.
And I'll reiterate, not playing the first one is probably what this is all a consequence of, right? Just playing the second one outright probably isn't the best idea as far as, like, a coherent story and kind of understanding, you know, like, what the goal was here, right? But, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's valid. So, it's a game that people probably bought without playing the first one, you know? Like, I think that's totally fair. You can't rely on having played the original to judge it, you know what I mean? Yeah, but you have to admit, it sure looks interesting, right? Like, the style of it is really pretty extraordinary,
I thought the world building was good. I will say, I think some of, like, that throne room writing was a little, I don't know, like, obvious, you know what I mean? Like, when the general dude comes in with his giant mecha robots, it's like, why are you guys just letting this happen? Like, I can tell, I'm not even a part of this world, and I can tell this is, like, a bad situation brewing right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't open the doors. Don't let this guy come in here. You know what I mean? And they're just like, let him in. Uncle, how are you? And he's like, oh, fucking, I'm murdering everybody. And you're like, oh, I'm about to
overthrow your ass.
Yeah. You're like, oh, man, I saw this coming. Why didn't you? Like, why are you stupid? I know you're not stupid. You know, but I do think, I think the world around it was interesting. I think the notes are really interesting, because there's just, like, things to read everywhere, which I like in those kinds of games.
Yeah.
I think it does look nice, actually. Like,
yeah, I think visually, like, pretty extraordinary. And just
the architecture and the lighting and everything is really cool. Yeah.
And they do a really good job making the world feel lived in. Like, every single room in every level is really, like, a clear work of art. Like, someone spent a very long time making every room feel like it should be there, and it is lived in, and it's exactly how it should be. It's really extraordinary.
Yeah. So what else did you get to play?
Well, it's funny. I beat Death of the Outsider, and I was like, you know what? I'm done with Dishonored, but I want to play some more Arcane, because they're so good. So I started playing Prey, which is their latest one, right? Where, did you play that at all?
I did not. I saw quite a bit of it, because it was kind of going around for a while, but I did not play it.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing, but it's very similar to your experience, where I tried to play it before I played Dishonored, and it's not in any way connected lore-wise, but, you know, it is obviously has a lot of the same DNA, given it's the same developers very soon after. And I bounced off of it. I got lost and confused. I thought it was exactly like you were saying. I thought it looked really cool and was compelling and clever, but I kind of bounced off of it a couple of years ago, I think, like, when it first came out and I first got it. But now, having kind of understanding what they're about, I was able to really hop in a really fun way. And what it essentially is it's really an update of System Shock, but, like, for modern players with much more modern design, both visually and then also as in terms of UI and everything. but it's very much keeping that older sensibility of like builds, you know, like they give you the ability to build your character however you want. There's like all the engineering stuff. It's the same deal where you can really focus on like hacking and combat or like engineering or weapons or stealth. And it's that same thing where it's this giant space station that you can explore, just like System Shock. And there's a million ways to get into every single part. And it's all tied together with a pretty mind-bending story. And it has a lot of the same DNA where it's extremely stylish looking. You could tell they spent a lot of time on the UI and everything. But like you were saying, it's pretty overwhelming, and it definitely is not what you were describing where you jump in and you're like, oh, this is so sick. It's like definitely a slow burn, definitely kind of opaque. Like there's a lot of menus when you hop in, you're like, oh Jesus. But if you just kind of stick within, you're into it. It's pretty extraordinary. It really does feel like an old PC game, but, thoroughly modernized, if that makes sense. I know it sounds contradictory, but like that sensibility of real freedom to explore however you want, but also, you know, not completely opaque and incomprehensible like when you try and play the first Deus Ex or the first System Shock or even some later games. So anyway, I really like it, but I think this game, even more than Dishonored, is absolutely not for everyone. And I don't mean that in like a cool elitist way. I just mean like you'll either connect with this or you won't. And I think not connecting with it, you still have to admit it's very cool and well made. But I could totally understand someone being like, this is too hard and confusing and opaque, and like you're completely powerless until you kind of build your own character. I'm only 5 or 6 hours in. I'm really enjoying it, but it is extremely hard and it's very different than I'm used to. And it's definitely not a power fantasy.
Yeah, I do. You know, to me, I think what the biggest issue I had, and I think the feeling that I just don't think you need in games, is like that you're not playing it right. You know what I mean? And I think that you run into that where it's like, I know how to play games. I just realized that like, I'm not doing this as intended, and that's why it's like fizzling out every time for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because even in like the hardest games, right? Like even in like Sekiro or Bloodborne, it's like, yeah, you're not like the most powerful, and you may not like be figuring out how to like get to the boss or whatever, but you can still like work your way through those levels. You know what I mean? Like, in any way you want, like, even if you're doing it wrong, you can still kind of like, I'm slowly picking away at all these dudes and finding my way through, or I'm just running and getting through all this stuff and somehow sort of surviving or not, or just doing these runs, you know. It never like you run into this thing where it's like, you're not going to get through this section unless you do it the way we want you to. And we're not necessarily going to tell you how we want you to do it, you know?
And yeah, I mean, I will say that I don't think that is accurate in the beginning of Dishonored. Like, you could literally just run past everyone if you wanted to.
Maybe I could have. I didn't know where I was running. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Every time I would jump down, you know, like, as soon as you get to, like, the surface level, there's a guard there, and I would stealth kill him, and then I would approach the other guards, and I was always getting spotted, right? And so what I'm saying is there's probably a path or something I should have been taking every time that would have just made it, like, a non-issue. But I did it like 3 or 4 times, and every time I ended up having to shoot somebody, and then everyone would get alerted, and I'd be like, okay, like, this is done.
Yeah, yeah. No, right? I hear you. It's easy to bounce off that and be like, I don't,
And you're like, I just don't feel like this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like doing this.
And that's part of it too, right? Like, I know this happens to me, like, if I had been in the mood for a stealth game, maybe then I would have been like, yeah, I feel like being sneaky. And then that would have been a totally different experience. Or like, you know, and I think that's when I played Prey the first time. I was like expecting it to be more like Bioshock. And it is in a lot of ways in terms of its design. But Bioshock is much more straightforward. And I think I was expecting more of that. So I was kind of like, Jesus, it's like impenetrable and confusing and I'm lost and it's annoying, which is not what you're describing, but kind of it is. And like in terms of just not understanding what the game is trying to get you to do, even if the game is not trying to get you to do anything, even understanding that is kind of hard. So yeah, all that to say, I had a very similar experience the first time I played Prey that you just did with Dishonored 2. So I can definitely relate.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So is there anything else you got to play this week?
Yeah, real quick. I played some more Halo, and the only reason I bring it up is, because
here we go.
Because it's the best game ever. And I pre-ordered an Xbox. No, I'm just kidding. It was funny to play Prey and then play Halo at the same time. Because they're both, you know, space games, but they literally just could not be more different. And I don't know. It's been a really interesting juxtaposition to play like two futuristic space games from two very different developers. and just the way that they both, in theory, should be similar, but are so profoundly different in terms of every single choice that they make. It was just sort of interesting to play them at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, I played some other stuff, but the main thing I want to talk about was Prey. And now that you've talked about Dishonored 2, was there anything else that maybe you actually enjoyed?
There's some games I enjoyed. So obviously I played Genshin Impact every day because that's still required.
That's funny.
That's required of me to play every day.
Otherwise the Chinese government will come after you.
Well, it's funny because I bought this like $5, like, get gems every day pack. So now it's like, I have to log in every day to get those gems. Like, I paid for them.
So you paid $5 to like hold yourself hostage.
To hold myself hostage, right?
Good.
But it's a good deal. So,
You'd be a fool not to.
I would be a fool not to. I played some League with friends. I think they wanted to play because Worlds was this weekend, right? Yeah. Like the finals. Mm-hmm. So did you see any of the finals?
No, we were talking about this before. I watched a little bit of the like concert, I guess is what it was. I still, as someone who's a complete outsider, I don't even understand. Was it like, was that the concert before the finals, or was that like, I just don't understand. It seemed like so much hoopla for a game that is so uninteresting to me, so profoundly uninteresting that it's always kind of fun to watch it because I'm just like, I have no clue what's going on, which can maybe makes it better in some ways. I don't know.
Yeah, they always have a big event around Worlds, right? And there's usually like a world song, and then the KDA songs lately have been sort of like unofficial Worlds themes, right? So every year they make like a theme song for Worlds and that gets performed, and now they have like the K-pop song they do also. So that's kind of like, yeah, there's a lot of hype around it. I mean, viewership for Worlds is huge. I will say globally.
Yeah. No, totally. Like, it's just me, my perspective, certainly.
Yeah. They don't got that Dota prize money, but the actual like viewership is really high, which I think sucks. Riot really should invest more into the prize pools for those events, right? Because I feel like they really don't, as far as like huge money, you know what I mean? Like, they're not making millionaires, right? Which I think is what's so interesting about like some of these like Fortnite events and like Dota events, right? Where it's like our champion's gonna be a fucking millionaire tonight, so let's, you know, I think that's exciting.
I think, right? They have to save all their money for the sexual harassment suits, right?
Yeah, for the harassment suits, for
to pay off like NDAs. yeah.
Yeah, dev costs for their single player RPGs.
Yeah,
I know. But so I actually watched some of Worlds. I went to bed early on Friday and woke up early to watch a couple of the games for the finals. Cool.
That sounds like fun.
And it wasn't that fun. Like, I just stayed in bed at 3 a.m. and watched it. It wasn't like, we were gonna like get on Discord with some friends, but by the time it was on, I was like, I don't want to get out of bed, but I will just kind of flip it on here while I'm laying around. It was okay. You know, I wasn't like, I wasn't that into it. It just seemed obvious who was going to win, right? Like, it was, it's best of five, I think. So the first of three wins. And the first game, one team won pretty easily. The second game, their picks were really weird. Like, it's just kind of like a trolley, like meme game, right? Like, they were kind of messing around.
Yeah.
And then the other team won. But every game after that, the first team that won, like, they were just so good. Like,
it was like, just like a blowout, basically.
Well, it wasn't even like a blowout. It was like they were so good at playing the entire map, the entire game.
Yeah.
That it was like oppressive, right? Like, they weren't like dominating in kills or money or anything, but like, they were just so good at, like, you could tell every minute every player on that team knew exactly what they should be doing, right? Like these are the things we need to do for success in this next 30 seconds, right? It's like, this is about to happen, so I need to kill some monsters here, and I need to go back and buy and then move to this spot. And like, everyone knew that, and they were so damn good at it that it was like no one else could make anything happen against them, you know? What I mean, like, which is great. I mean, I think they were definitely the champions, and they were
there to win, and they did.
They're from Korea. Koreans haven't been winning in the past few years, so good for them. But so I played some League of Legends. I've been playing a lot of VR, dude.
Nice. I played quite a lot, and I'm planning to play more this week. But what have you been playing?
Population One.
Okay, that's the Battle Royale, right?
Yeah, I know I talked about it a bit last week. I've been playing that game so much. It's actually really good. Like, I think the thing they did that's really good in that game is they didn't try and make it realistic, right? Yeah. I think that's the big failure, I think, in VR. It's just like,
unless you're gonna like have Valve money to do that, it's probably better to like, not try.
And I don't even think it matters like how much money you have. It's got to be fun to play first. You know, I think like that's the biggest thing, is it's like, what's gonna be fun to do? Like, if you want realistic experiences, you can make some of those, but people aren't necessarily going to want to participate in it, right?
Like, it might and it usually feels like a tech demo too, which is, you know, not a bad thing necessarily, but yeah, I agree with you. It's got to be a game first.
Yeah, it might be a fun concept, but it's like, if the reload mechanic isn't how reloading works, or, you know, the gun mechanics or whatever, like, who fucking, no one cares. And I think they did a good job of abandoning those ideas early and just trying to make a fun game. And it's fun. It's fun to play. Like, I catch myself wanting to play it, like, a lot, like, all the time. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, I really like it.
Are you playing it on the Quest, or, because I believe there's a Quest version, right? Or is it only a Quest version?
There's Quest, and then there's Steam as well. Okay. It's coming out on everything. But the good thing about the Quest version is it comes with, like, this seems weird, right? But Quest version of games and Oculus version of games aren't the same, right? So, like, you could buy a game on the Quest and not own it in the Oculus store, right?
That's kind of what I was asking,
Like, to play on PC. This game is cross-buy between Oculus and Quest.
Yeah, it seems like quite a few games are. Like, when I was doing a bunch of research for those articles, I found that, like, it's certainly not all of them, but quite a few, if not most of them, were, like, you can play it on both, which is cool, because you get, like, an upgraded version. It's almost like buying the Switch version and being able to play it on PC or something. That's kind of a cool...
Yeah, so if you want to play it through PC VR, you can do it through a Link cable or virtual desktop on the Oculus Store. It'll look better. Or if you want to do it native on the Quest, you can play it on the Quest. I normally play it on the Quest because, to be honest, the game doesn't look that good anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, if running natively on the headset seems like a better idea at that point. And the game does look kind of bad, like, which I don't really mind. But, you know, you got to kind of you got to be okay with that. You know, you got to have reasonable expectations. But yeah, man, I've been playing a lot of that. I've been playing a lot of Quest. I wish the face cover was better. If I had one complaint, well, I don't like the head strap very much either.
I don't either. I will say it's like, it requires me to constantly readjust it, which is irritating.
And it doesn't hold like good enough, you know? So I'm always like out of the sweet spot. Like, it's always fuzzier than it needs to be. And I'm like, messing with it. And the part that touches your face is a little rough. You know,
it like is, it, yeah. I noticed the day after I played, like, all day, pretty much. The next day, I was like, why does my face hurt? And I was like, oh, it's just because those parts of my face are not used to having pressure on them, I don't think. So it was just, like, it was
interesting. And where it kind of lightly touches your nose, right? Like, I wish it came into your nose more, because the way it, like, grazes your nose makes my nose itch all the time. Like, I'm constantly, like, trying to get my fingers between the nose part and my nose to, like, itch it off, you know, because it's... It's always doing this like light rub that just is driving me crazy.
And how are you supposed to win a battle royale if you're constantly itching your nose?
Yeah, I mean, I've won quite a few, but you
that'd
know,
be nice.
Yeah, I agree. It's a real detriment to my performance. But yeah, there's a company called VR Cover that makes third party like face masks for all the headsets. Yeah. And they're supposed to have a Quest 2 one out. Supposedly it got delayed because it was like it was like leaching, like it was leaving like black marks on people's faces sometimes because of the dye they were using or something. I don't know. This was part of their testing. I have no idea. It's just something I heard. But yeah, so supposedly they had to change it because they wanted to sell it on the Oculus Store. And to sell it on the Oculus Store, they required a certain like type of material and everything to use. And by doing that, it made it messed up. Right.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they couldn't use the same headset they used in every other version. They had to make a new version for the Oculus Quest 2. But yeah, I really want a replacement face cover. I really want a replacement head strap. I have a head strap coming from China that should get here sometime in the next 90 days.
Yeah, it could be tomorrow or it could be in 2 months. There's literally no way to know.
Who knows?
Yeah, I do like the idea of once there's a little more options and more reviews, I do definitely like the idea of sort of upgrading it physically and making it kind of almost modular and being like, build my own fucking head strap. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, I did buy a little pair of headphones that like, you know, it was actually for the Rift, but it's kind of fit for like the short one for your left ear.
Oh, yeah, and that's one cool. I should get one of those. I've been pretty okay with just the speakers because I live alone, so it's not really a big deal, but it's sometimes, especially for like music games, it'd be nice to have a little bit better sound.
I like the speakers too, but yeah, especially like, you know, playing Beat Saber and stuff. It's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice to have some bass. The bass is a little tinny from those
Which
ones,
makes sense. I mean, yeah. Of course it is, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
For what they are, they're quite good, but yeah, they're definitely not better than
it. It's a speaker the size of a nickel. Like, what can you expect from it, right?
Yeah.
Actually, have you tried those Bose speaker glasses yet?
No.
They have them at Target. They actually sound really good, and they're just like sunglasses that have speakers built into the arms of them.
That's cool.
And they use like your bone behind your ear to conduct sound in your ear. Wow. And they sound really good. So shockingly good.
That's so cool. I love that shit. I mean, it definitely is like a little scary, but it's also very cool.
It was disgusting to try them on at Target, but I did.
Oh, yeah. What's there to be worried about? Come on.
Yeah, I don't have Rona yet, so this was more than 14 days ago.
Well,
so
you probably do now.
I'm fine. So something else I played, and this isn't VR. We'll get out of the VR talk, because really all I played was Population 1 in VR. Something else I played, and you're going to like this. I played some Control, and I played it in quite an interesting way.
Oh, I know what you... interesting.
What?
Did you play it on the Switch?
No. Although that is interesting. I didn't. Yeah. And I played it on Amazon Luna.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. I did not know that was even available yet.
So I got an early access email saying, I don't know if everyone has early access to it.
I didn't get anything.
But I signed up for like their beta thing and didn't get in. So I assume maybe it was beta people. So they gave me a 7-day trial and then I could, you know, re-up for $5 a month. I will say, like, for their monthly price, if this was kind of how you wanted to play games, it seems pretty chill, right? Like, there's a few good games on there, like AAA games, and Control being one of them.
Yeah.
It ran pretty good. You know, I think that's my takeaway. I didn't play that much. My wireless connection here isn't the best, but I think it ran pretty good. I didn't have any complaints. It worked. I don't think that game is the most responsive. I will say, like, another game that starts really slow and underpowered, like, all you have is a pistol for the beginning of it.
Yeah.
But, regardless, like, the gunplay in that game, not good. I don't think that game lives on its gunplay, but man, that shit feels bad. You know, like, I don't think that that's an indication of the game. I think people like the games for things other than the gunplay in it. But just taking a quick run through and playing a little bit at the beginning, I was like, man, these guns suck. Like, it's one gun. But I was like, man, this gun sucks. It does not fun to shoot this at all. But yeah, Luna worked pretty good. I will say, I didn't have any issues with it. Ran pretty well.
That's interesting. And that actually, it seems like a good example of a game that would be good for that, because I assume it has, you know, all the ray tracing enabled. That game's pretty hard on the CPUs as well, because of all the insane particle effects and like destruction. So that seems like one that could, you know, and it's a single player game. So net code or whatever, the latency doesn't have to be as high as something like Street Fighter or whatever. So that seems like actually a pretty good candidate, where it's like a tech demo showcase. And then also it's a single player game, so you don't have to worry about, like, you know, fucking anything up.
I will say, I didn't feel like it looked amazing or anything.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh wow, these graphics, you know, but maybe I could tweak it. I don't know. You know, that's what I mean. I haven't really gotten that much that into it.
Well, and also I wonder, is it like running at the highest settings, or is that like is it tier based, like Stadia? I wonder.
It's not tier based. So you buy channels for it. It's kind of like the way Prime Video works, where you can buy like stars or stars. Whatever. Here, I'm gonna connect to it right now while we're talking. Let's see.
I just hear you disappear.
If I disconnect, then that's why.
But what's the interface like? Is it like pretty? Is it pretty bare bones since it's early on?
It's pretty bare bones. It's just, it sort of reminds me of like, I don't know. What would I, it reminds me of my Chromecast, honestly, where it's like, or like Netflix.
Or Stadia.
When you start scrolling down to the categories in Netflix, where it's like, here's a category, here's, you know, a sliding panel of games within that category, right? Like new releases, trending, hot games.
Is Crucible on there?
No, and it's all the same games, so it's not a lot. All right, come on, you don't need to give me all these fucking intro texts, bro. I'm not on Luna to see what saving does. I just want to see if I go into like graphics if it's all cranked up or not, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't see graphics in here. Am I in the wrong place?
I don't know.
Maybe
I've never played Control.
I haven't. Well, I've played it for a few minutes. Yeah, I don't see like graphic settings. So, oh well, we don't need to spend too much time on it. But I played it on Luna. Seems fine. If you had no other way to play it, I think it's a neat way to play.
No, totally. That's how I felt when I first tried Stadia, like when they were doing their beta, like a year or two, maybe even, I think it was like 2 years ago. And then we were playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And yeah, that's my impression. I was like, wow, it works pretty well. Like, I feel like I'm playing the game. And it was very easy. And like, yeah, I like, fundamentally, it's a cool idea.
For the introductory price, I would say, like, especially comparing it to like Xbox's PC offering, which you have to download, obviously, they're not all streaming. I would rather play Control than anything that's on Game Pass for PC. So, you know, there's that, I guess.
There right? is
like,
that.
Yeah. You know, it seems like a better value in that sense. And, you know, like, I don't know. It's hard, right? It's hard when you have a gaming PC and you don't need to kind of make those sacrifices to like justify them. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to put yourself in the shoes of someone that doesn't have that. And it's like,
yeah, like if you had a Switch and that was it, and like a shitty Chromebook or whatever, like I could see this being potentially interesting.
Yeah. It's like if you're trying to review like what taking the bus is like when you just drive a car every day and you're like, I don't know, this seems neat for people to need it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, yeah. You can't give like a real.
Yeah, it's hard like, to be. It's hard to be objective for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's neat. Cool. I think as far as those services go, I thought this one made more sense than for one paying $15 for Xbox or paying whatever Stadia charge. You have to buy those games. So fuck that. I would never.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, such a bad idea.
Yeah, such a bad
idea. Because they're really just hoping like the fact that they don't have to update, like, okay. Like, I get it, but that's not a huge fucking deal unless you have insanely slow internet. But if you have insanely slow internet, you can't use it anyway.
Doesn't make sense.
But I guess their whole thing was like you could play it on multiple devices and that's why it's worth it. But like, what? I never understood that. But this makes a lot more sense, especially with the Twitch infrastructure and even Amazon Prime, right? Like, I'm sure they can offer free trials to Prime members. And, you know, there's a whole infrastructure where it kind of yet another service that Amazon can provide makes a little more sense than trying to sell it as like a console competitor, right?
Yeah, or like Prime members get this game for free. Or, you know what I mean?
Like, just like with Twitch, right? Like, it's an easy. Yeah. And they can do cross things where it's like you're watching this on Twitch, click here and we can add it to your Luna account instantly, you know, like
join this game right now.
Right. Yeah.
Like for a battle royale.
And I think Stadia could have had that with YouTube, but I never got the sense they were seriously trying to do that. Whereas Amazon probably could do it more easily.
Well, I think Stadia's problem too was it's like, oh, you saw this cool YouTube video or you're watching a live video, like click here to join in. You try it. It's like $60. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like,
good point.
That's give me $7 for premium Stadia and then give me $60 for the game and you can join. And people are, and it's like, nah, like, no, I don't think so. We're like, yeah, with Luna, it's like $5 a month. Here's a free trial. Just jump in. You know, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And we're so used to subscribing through Amazon to things, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It literally could just be a little button next to your Prime thing and just be like, add this for $3 for $5 a month. And you can play all these games. Like, that seems so much easier.
Yeah.
If they can get it to work, especially. Like, yeah.
Not a bad service, but
that's interesting.
Yeah, that's primarily what I played. With that, let's take a quick break and then we will jump into the news of Spooktober. Why do I keep calling it Spooktober?
Oh. I don't know. You're a little behind there.
Alright, we're getting into the news. All right, Leo, how was your break?
Oh, it was great. I just did another Dishonored 2 run and man, it was fun.
Too bad that game sucks.
You should try getting past the tutorial before you judge the whole game. How's that sound?
Right. If the tutorial didn't suck, I would, bro, but it's hard. But shit's no fun. It's no fun.
We're not going to talk about this anymore, but did you choose Corvo or
I chose the pretty lady.
Yeah, she's cool. She's awesome. She's a great character. I enjoyed playing her. Corvo has a totally different set of powers that are much more like aggressive, and hers are much more like, she can like shadow walk around and like go through vents and stuff. Anyway,
from the few minutes you spend with him, Corvo seemed not lame, but kind of lame.
Well, he's who you play through in the first game. So he's like, you know, you're a little attached to him, but I agree. I think he's a more traditional video game protagonist than Emily, who's, you know, she does some really cool stuff.
Anyway. He's just such a dude.
Yeah, he's just a grizzled, you know, grizzled veteran, combat veteran archetype, you know, nothing new in that front.
So a lot of this news is, I don't know. I don't know how much conversation we're going to have around it, but let's see where it takes us. So you guys probably all know by now, but CD Projekt Red has delayed Cyberpunk again.
Yeah.
Until December, I guess. We'll see. I don't. Maybe we're already playing it. I'm not sure. Yeah, the story I have here is talking about that their share prices fell 25% in the last 2 months. They're just like tanking on these delays for Cyberpunk. I'm sure they'll come back when the game releases, if it releases and if it's good. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think about this delay? Because I think some thoughts.
I think the discourse around it is more interesting than like that. I guess two things. My main issue with the delays is just, I wish they just stopped saying, this time we're serious. Like, if they had just never said that and been like, taking the Nintendo route where they're like, fuck you, we're going to delay it till it's done. If they just said that from the beginning, because I think they probably have very good reason to delay. And I think their justification that like, there's like 9 SKUs or whatever is probably a valid one. I just don't understand why they keep saying like, we hear you guys, we're really sorry. It'll be out this time, 100%. We guarantee it. And then they have to come with their hat in their hand. Like, I really would have respected more if they're like, fuck you, we'll release it when it's done.
Yeah, I wish they'd just shut up. And you'll buy
it because you want it. Like, really, that I would have so much more respect for it.
Take the Sean Murray approach and just shut the fuck up, right? Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, like,
exactly. Just put out a little press release that says, like, hey, this is a really ambitious game, more ambitious than anything we've done. I think you're going to really like it, but we want to make sure it's good. Like, right? Come on. That's it. That's all they need to say. And they can delay it as many times as they want. I don't understand the people getting upset, like, as if it's some sort of a personal attack on them. Like, I do understand people being like, you guys, come on. Like, stop saying you're going to put it out if you're not. But this weird, like, culture of victimhood that they're like, it's a personal affront against me because I scheduled time off because I'm a dumbass is like, I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting, like, just like the last time we talked about them, the discourse around it is almost more, not compelling, almost uncompelling, you know? It, like, kind of drags everything through the mud. But I'd be curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, now that I'm in VR, I am Cyberpunk, right?
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, you don't need it. You're living the dream.
I don't need CDPR to give me fucking, you know.
You're already living arms, in augmented.
Right? Yeah, I live that life. I've jacked in all the time. So whatever is what I say. But you know, yeah, they just need to shut the fuck up. Like they're talking too much.
Yep.
They're saying things they can't back up.
Yep.
I mean, I am an adamant kind of defender of them. And even still, it's just like, just stop fucking talking, man. Yeah.
We say that so much. Have you noticed that? Like, there's so many solutions could just be like, just shut up.
Yeah, just stop talking.
Just stop trying so hard and just do the thing.
You know, it's funny. This is going to be politically related, but like, someone posted today on one of my Discords a story about the Hunter Biden laptop and how it was hacked using this hacking tool and the GitHub. On the hacking tool has some Russian contributors, and that somehow like mitigates the fact that, you know, the stuff that's on the laptop. And I'm not saying neither, you know, my side of that. All I'm saying is if you guys just stop fucking talking about the story and proving it wrong, everyone would move on. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing. Like, just if people would just shut up and get out of their own way, like people don't care that much, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it becomes
It's that whole thing of, like, thou doth protest too much, right? Like, I think there's some validity to that when someone's just like, hey, 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 you, hey, I didn't do this thing. You're like, excuse me? Like, I don't care. Why are you going out of your way to tell me this? And it has nothing to do with politics. It's just like, that is a thing where when you're shouting to the heavens about something, it's like, can you just shut up? You're
still talking about this? Like, yeah, really?
Exactly.
Like, if there's anything I will say that, like, these like right wing assholes have done well is they just fucking move right past their shit, you know, like
just flood everything with fucked up shit, and then it's hard to stop and really look at anything.
There's a major Amazon motion picture right now that shows Rudy Giuliani trying to fuck some girl, right? And they're just like, we're just not gonna talk about it, it'll be fine. And it kind of is.
It kind of is, like, yeah, you know, people talked about it briefly, and
yeah,
I haven't seen it mentioned in Reddit in a while.
He's like, I was fixing my shirt. And everyone's like, that's bullshit. He's like, that's what I got to say.
You know, like, I don't know. And then, yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, it's so easy to get through this stuff, but people are just like, no, I gotta be right. I gotta tell. And I feel like CD Projekt Red is so in the weeds of like,
yeah,
we promise no more delays, no crunch. It's like a little bit of crunch and a lot of bit of delays. And
yeah,
but no more after this. We swear. And it's like, just stop. Like, please just stop.
I find it very irritating. Like, I think it'd be so neat if they just were like, hey, we don't know when the game's gonna come out. We'll keep you posted. That's it. Like, we want to make it good, and you will buy it anyway, probably. I mean, don't say that, but, like, you know.
This
are people really not going to buy it now because they delayed it? Maybe, but that's hard for me to believe.
Just say, this shit's complicated. We don't want to do shit that sucks. We're
It's really ambitious. We've never done anything like this, and it's going to take a long time. Sorry.
Literally, more and more versions we have to make as this gets longer, and it just makes it worse. And we're sorry, but we're fucking working on it. So it'll be out soon, we promise.
And the thing that I always find funny is it's like, you realize it's in their best interest to put the game out, right? It's not like they're stringing us along for fun. Like, the longer this takes, the more money they lose. So it's not like they're doing it for, like, to be mean to you. They're just like, they put it out right now if they felt comfortable doing so.
If anything, like, when I saw this, I was like, just delay it until spring. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't like, fucking care.
December is such a bad place, I think, to release it in a world where people are going to be spending their money on consoles, right? Like, you know, if I'm buying a console, I'm not going to buy Cyberpunk with it. You know what I mean? Like, I might buy, well, no, who, I don't understand anyone buying Xbox. If I bought a PS5, you know, like, I would want to buy Demon's Souls with it, right? Like, that'd be the first game I bought. It may be Miles Morales. It's not Cyberpunk. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's like third on the list. If Cyberpunk comes out before that, there's really nothing in the way of me buying it, right? Whereas if I'm going to spend, you know, $650 on a console and a couple games, you know, it really makes it harder to justify that third game, right? Whereas if you're spring, you know, people will be back on their feet ready to buy fucking Cyberpunk again.
Yeah, I'll have a new GPU by then, hopefully.
You want that 3070, huh?
3080.
Oh, you're getting that 3080, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, no punk ass.
I mean, why are you going to buy the 3080 when AMD is going to have the 69 XT
out for you? That's true.
So my next story is AMD announces 999 RX 6900 XT. And they're saying it's faster than a 3090.
I think this is one of those things where people say faster and that doesn't actually mean anything. I'm not saying it's not a really remarkably cool thing, but it's that when people talk about GPUs, especially modern GPUs.
Yes.
The word faster means literally nothing. It's like comparing to PS5 and Xbox, but way more so. Being like, this one has more. There's just no... It's so much dependent on what you're using it for that really... Comparing them almost has no value whatsoever. It's kind of getting to that point.
Yeah, I in Discord with some friends, my breakdown was AMD releases benchmarks for 6900 XT. It's the fastest GPU ever. 6900 XT comes out. Oh, we're having driver issues. Three months later, 6900 XT is the best GPU for Adobe programs. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, everyone forgets about it for games. I mean, even, you know, even like their success in processors, right? Like, they still don't really outperform Intel processors in games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like it's it's that same thing. I do think it's cool that they're not coming from the back foot anymore. Or well, I guess they are still actually now. But like, it is cool that really all this is like, hey, we're finally competitive in the GPU space, which is not a small story. It's big, but it is not like. It's the same thing that AMD is always like. AMD fanboys are always like, this is it. They're finally going to crush the competition. It's like, no, dude, they just finally got to parity with the competition, which is awesome and not a small thing. But let's fucking not pretend like NVIDIA and Intel are going down now. Like, the cash flow of these corporations are like inconceivably massive.
And so will they reach GPU parity? I mean, I think that's the big thing.
Yeah, in the best case scenario, it's parity. And even that is like months later. And you know, NVIDIA already is just, who knows what they're working on. It's just funny to see it play out again.
They've always made outrageous claims about their GPU performance, and they never live up to the claims. Like, never. Yeah. I'd be glad if they do. I wish there were cheaper cards that ran well, but, you know, these AMD cards have always been kind of a nightmare. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's and like, they're just not as much R&D in the drivers and like.
No. And there's not as much support software wise from developers. Yep. Like,
I think AMD cards are fine. Like, that's the thing, right? At the end of the day, it's like, no, they're totally fine. They're fine. Like, if you want an AMD card, I don't know. It'll probably be almost as good in most ways and maybe slightly better in edge cases. And even that is a compelling proposition if it's significantly cheaper.
Yeah.
But it's this idea that they're trying to pretend like they're on the cutting edge is like, they're closer to the cutting edge than they've ever been, which is good. And who knows, maybe next time. But it's interesting to just see the hype around it. And it's only people who really like AMD who care about this. Not because it's a bad product, but because there's this bizarre, and I might have a personal bias given my like employment and everything, but like there's this bizarre, they're an underdog and everyone wants to see an underdog succeed. And it would be great. It's good for competition. But it is funny to watch it happen again.
Yeah, constant. This is like a constant cycle. I hope they do well. It's never
been. Of course.
And, you know, I think the thing that people forget about it is NVIDIA is like, a lot of the things that make those cards so great are outside of like pure gaming performance. It's kind of that supplementary, like things you get in games from like the RTX audio to like, you know, like that like noise gating you can do with the RTX card, NVEC codecs for like Streamlabs and stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, there's a lot of things they're doing in those cards that that are beyond just the FPS you get like in a game. And you know, all these cards are gonna give you good frames. Yeah. Like, you know,
the truth. Like, yeah, any of these cards, if you're doing 1440, you'll probably be fine.
Yeah, but we'll see. You know, it'll be out. When do these cards come out? Let's see.
Soon.
Yeah, they should be out really soon. So I'm excited to see when they hit people's hands. Yeah. And I don't know.
It is cool to see it compared to like NVIDIA's just way ahead every time. And now it's like, well, they're both putting out reasonably approximately similar cards now, which is cool. It is.
Yeah, I'm really excited, really interested to see where the 6800 performs. It's 579. It'll be out on the 18th.
Yeah.
Like, will that compete with the 3070? Right? Because if the 3070 outperforms that and it's cheaper, like,
yeah, I'm sure it won't. I mean, that would be bizarre. Why would they do that? Like, they just wouldn't. They wouldn't make that SKU if that were the case, I would think. But who knows? And then NVIDIA's already responding with their, like, you know, 3080 Ti, and God knows when they'll start dropping the Supers on us. So it is, you know, it's here we go again. It's the same shit again. But
here
I do think the 30 series and these 6000 series cards are certainly a more compelling proposition than the Navi cards, or certainly more than the Turing. Or it was Turing, yeah, right? The 20 series, yeah.
Last gen sucked.
Yeah, it did suck. I really think it sucked on both sides. So it's cool to see them both putting out good products now.
Yeah. Leo, do you like gaming movies about gamers?
I like some movies about video games, some, very few.
Movies about gamers.
Has there been a good one? Scott Pilgrim vs. the World was pretty good, but that wasn't like explicitly about
The gamers. Wiz.
Never seen that.
The Wizard? Was it called The Wizard? The Wiz?
The Wizard? That's the one with Fred Savage?
Yeah, the Fred Savage movie. That was about.
I don't think that was like very good.
That was a good movie, dude.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, I was like, did you watch it?
No, but I promise you it's not a good movie.
So look at you. Never saw it. Hold on. I got Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, look at the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Was it The Wizard?
The Wizard, yeah. That was the Wizard. Super Mario Brothers 3.
1989.
Yep. I was 3 years old.
What do you think it's got on the tomato meter?
I don't know, 20?
32%. Okay.
Wow. Beating, shattering expectations.
Yeah, of course. What do you think the audience score is?
It was probably 98.
It's a 60. It's still pretty good, right? Like, not too bad. I liked that movie when I was a kid. I was really into it. He has a power glove and just like wrecks at Mario with the power glove.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. It's so amazing. There's a new video game movie in the works.
Nice.
Is
it about Crunch at CD Projekt Red?
I wish. People are real excited about this movie. It's called One Up. Great name. Wow. Great name for a video game movie. It stars Paris. Oh, I can't remember her name. Barrelick? Barrelk? Barrelked.
I have no idea.
That's a bad movie star name. I can see why I don't know who she is.
I don't know, man. Benedict Cumberbatch made it, so who knows?
That's fun to say though, because it's like a cumberbun.
Yeah, that's true.
Ellen Page is in it. She plays the like esports coach. And yeah, this movie looks terrible. I'm going to read you like this whole article. This is from Collider by Gregory Lawrence. Ellen Page to star as scandal-ridden esports coach in video game movie 1UP. Sports movies, often very good. Video game movies, I'm a bit of a spotty track record. Movies about video games.
That's generous.
Rare, but definitely some gems in there. Now what happens if we mix all these genres together and add two stars of Netflix's most recent hits? You might have some upcoming film like 1UP. Per Variety, 1UP stars Paris. I'm not going to try again. As a college esports gamer, esports being competitive video games played and consumed much like regular sports.
Oh, that's what that is.
Who quits her university's mostly male team due to their rampant sexism. Mm. Rampant sexism in the gaming community? Never heard of it.
That doesn't sound right.
That's from the article.
Really? Yeah. So she that was your snide editorializing. That's funny.
No, this is the articles. So she can keep her college scholarship. She must form an all-female esports team of misfit gamers under the tutelage of Coach Ellen Page, who has some scandals
That's the name of the coach, too? What a coincidence.
Yeah. Who has some scandals in her esports esports coaching closet to cope with. Fucking seashells by the seashore.
Well, I don't think this article is meant to be read aloud, to be fair. In the author's defense.
The film, the debut feature from BuzzFeed Studios, will be directed by Kyle Newman, written by Julia Yorks, who wrote Trolls, The Beat Goes On, and produced by Michael Phillip and Jason Mooring. I read it as Michael Phelps at first. Whoa. And BuzzFeed's Richard Allen Reed production. Somehow is expected to begin this month in Toronto. Well, yada, yada, yada. I think this movie sounds terrible.
Yeah, it sounds it sounds like a play-by-numbers sports movie, right? Like, which is not good.
It sounds like a play-by-numbers sports movie, but it's like
ripped from BuzzFeed headlines about
ripped Gamergate. From BuzzFeed headlines. Yeah. That's the part that know, it's like Revenge of the Nerds if the nerds were women. And they weren't in the nerds. Gaming
community.
They weren't nerds. People didn't like them because they were women. You know what I mean? Yeah. And especially like considering they seem like very pretty women. You know, like the main character is like very attractive. Well, they
gotta be pretty. It's a movie, right? Come on.
That's what I mean.
Who wants to want to watch a movie about ugly women playing video games?
That's fucking true. You know, God. I'm actually with you on that.
No, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Like, I have zero interest in watching this movie for many reasons. I don't give a shit about esports is being the main one. But I have a strong sense, and who knows? I'm just going off one article, right? This is like fake news shit. I don't know anything about this movie other than what you just told me. But it sounds like if I was a female gamer and watched this, I'd probably be pretty fucking annoyed. Like, it sounds like tokenization at its finest. Like,
yeah.
I'm a gamer girl. Why are the men being so sexist? Like, it just sounds really stupid. Not to say there isn't, like, they could make an interesting movie about the gaming industry. I don't think they ever have yet, but of course they could. They just haven't yet.
Have you watched the Netflix show Queen's Gambit?
No, that's the chess one, right?
Yeah, it's so good, right? Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it. I mean, I've seen, you know, banners for it. I just haven't been watching
it. And TV. I think what's so great about it is it's like, it's obviously very much a movie about, like, I don't even want to say women's empowerment, but it's a story of an amazing woman, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. You know what I mean? Like, there is sexism in it. There is, like, you know, like, they do hit these marks, right? And there's some racial stuff in it, too. But, you know, I think they do a really good job of just, like, having the main character be just a flawed, like, interesting main character with a tragic story and you know, kind of rising through that and developing like remarkable abilities, and you know, and you really root for her for that. And I just feel like in that movie there were so many opportunities to be like, oh, she tries to play chess with all these sexist boys, you know, and there's kind of those scenes, but like the guys are actually pretty nice to her. You know what I mean? Like she tries to join a chess tournament and they're like, oh, well, we don't have like a women's bracket. And she's like, it's fine. I'm just going to play. And they're like, okay, if you're sure you want to do that, that's fine. You know, it's not like this, it's not like, oh, no girls allowed, you know, like.
Yeah, like, well, I think that's what'll be so fascinating in this movie is, like, I can't wait to see how they portray the sexist esports guys, you know? Like, are they going to be like, that'll be the key, right? If it's like, she shows up to play and she's fucking really good at Overwatch or whatever, like, really good, right? Of course, she's practicing and she's been playing forever. But then she shows up to, like, play at a LAN party or whatever they're going to show it as, and she'll be, and they'll be like, why are you here? She'll be like, because I want to play. I'm a fucking Reinhardt main or whatever. And they're like, yeah, right. Yeah, show us your titties. Like, you know what I mean?
Play I'm Mercy Mercury's. Or get out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Girls are only healers.
Yeah, girls only play support. That, exactly. If they make any reference to that, that's where it's going to be like, okay. That's what will make or break this, is like how they portray the sexism, and it sounds like it's not going to be subtle or in any way realistic, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like being like involved and around gaming a lot, you are and I am, right? Like, I do, there's plenty of sexism in gaming, right?
And like, racism and like anything else.
And everything,
plenty of shitty ass people, no question. There's
plenty of shitty ass people, you know. Just like there are anywhere, like Twitter or whatever. But, you know, in my experience, for the most part, like, when a woman enters, like, these spaces, it's usually pretty supportive from the people that are, like, there with them, right? Like, when I've done, like, streaming and, you know, we've been eager to bring women in to participate with us, right? Like, it was never, like, exclusionary, right? And for the most part, when we have brought women in, if anyone was like rude about it, or like a viewer was rude, like, we're pretty quick to be like, no, that doesn't fly. Like, that's not what we're doing.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, so that's what seems so out of touch to me. Like, I would understand if it was about like, oh, she went into like a random Discord or like a Call of Duty fucking public chat, and they were like, get out of here, fucking sugar tits, right? Or whatever, right? But the reality is, when you're actually interacting with real people in like a team setting, and you're good, right? Like, no one's going to, you know, I just don't see that happening, right? Like, I just don't see that as the reality of kind of how these interactions take
place. Yeah, I mean, and this could be a classic example of like, well, we're not women, so we don't see it because it doesn't happen to us. Like, you know, I think that's valid. But that's why it'll be so interesting to see what my friends who are women who are gamers think about this movie. I think it'll be much more interesting than what I think, because it sounds fucking stupid as hell to me. I suspect the women I game with, not to use generalizations, but would probably read that article. And again, this is just one person's shitty article about it, so who knows? They'd probably think it sounds pretty patronizing and pretty like, ugh. But
yeah,
I'd love to hear some women gamers' opinions on it and see if it in any way rings true or is complete bullshit.
I think the way they say rampant sexism is kind of what makes it seem bad, right? If it was like, and she suffers due to like subtle sexism,
yeah,
or like systematic sexism, I would be like,
more interesting.
I'd be like, yeah, that's actually, if you know,
finds like constant microaggressions that slowly wear her down over time and make her like, not want to be in it anymore. I'd be like, see, that sounds interesting. That sounds
the
realistic.
Point is, she joins a team. She's very good. They try to support her, but one of the guys on the team has a crush on her, and they go out to dinner, and it ends awkwardly. And now, like, it's just the dynamic is,
and
really
it slowly turns away. Yeah,
yeah, really.
People
estranged.
Start saying weird stuff, and she feels bad and uncomfortable, and like,
she internalizes it, and they kind of externalize it, and it can't mesh, right? And like, no one really seems evil in it, right? Like, I think that would be very interesting, but I think what you're going to get is like them taking like the worst parts of like gaming Twitter and public chat, and kind of pushing that into like this unrealistic interaction of like get out of here, fucking, you know, girls are only good for fucking sandwiches, you know, or whatever, right? And it's gonna be like, oh,
and it's just gonna further reduce gaming to this, you know, this thing that it's still perceived as by many people, including, it sounds like, kind of the author of this article, of like, yeah, and it's still this like basement dwelling thing, which is just not accurate. It hasn't been accurate for so long, and it's like,
for so long,
like, there's more women gamers than men, so like, is that gonna be mentioned in this fucking movie? Because I hope so.
Yeah, and I feel like, I don't know, it's just
it was a bad write-up.
Yeah, and it's just so weird interacting in that space, like, as someone that, you know, as anyone that listens to this does, and like having these positive experiences with women, and like knowing tons of women that are better than me at games, right? And not being like fucking offended by that or like demasculated by, you know what I mean? Like not,
yeah.
Like I it seems so far fetched, right? But yeah, we'll see. I just, this write up is terrifying.
Yeah, it does not, yeah, it does not make me want to see the movie.
No, not one bit. All right, one more quick story. This isn't much of a story because it's in the works. But since we're virtual boys now,
oh yeah,
I got to bring it up. Researchers have bypassed the Oculus Quest 2 forced Facebook login. So news has been brewing.
I'm sorry, did it say researchers?
Researchers.
That's an interesting. That's a very interesting phrasing. I haven't heard that before. But like, that's a very careful wording.
Yeah. Like, it's funny because the website these researchers are from is Ready Hacker One.
Right. That's funny.
But yeah, wow. So I saw last week things were buzzing about getting root access on the Quest, yep, 2. And so it looks like some of these researchers have kind of found a way to bypass the Facebook login. Now, what this really means, I don't know, because in a lot of ways to do anything with the Quest 2, you need access to the Oculus store, right? Like if you didn't have a virtual desktop,
or yeah, I'm sure there's ways to sideload it though.
I mean, I'm sure there's some ways, right? But you know, how much of that you can actually get or not, I think is very interesting. If this becomes only a virtual desktop headset when you hack it or whatever, you know, I think it's interesting because a lot of people are having a lot of issues with Facebook logins. You know, I think if you've had a Facebook page for a long time, it's fine. You know, like, They already know everything, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Like a lot of people are saying, like, I don't want to give them more access to my house, and I'm like, I mean, first of all, I don't use Facebook ever. Mm-hmm. I have an account and I use it for one group, and I have one because you kind of have to for reasons like this.
Yeah,
but like you just don't use it, and they don't get shit. And then the idea that like maybe they're spying through the headsets, like sure, I don't. Yes. Maybe, probably not, but if they are, like, I kind of assume that anyway, and it's like, yeah, dude, that ship sailed a long fucking time ago, and I'm not trying to defend Facebook, but my whole point is I dislike Facebook so much and give them so little thought that the idea of, like, well, now they're going to be in your house seems kind of, like, that ship has sailed a long time ago.
Yeah,
on your Android phone, or your iPhone. Right? Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really have that much of an issue with it. I mean, I think this is interesting for people that have an issue with
totally. I think it's more interesting for people who like got locked out, because I'd be pissed if I spent, you know, $100 on stores and they arbitrarily banned me. I would be fucking pissed off, no question. And the idea of being able to buy a headset, you know, I root shit all the time for this exact reason. Like I bought a Kindle because it's a pretty nice piece of hardware, and then just rooted it to run stock Android, and it's great. You do kind of feel like you're sticking it to them a little bit, which is a very good feeling. So I think this is awesome. I just haven't, I don't need it, but I really hope they figure it out, because fuck Facebook. It'd be great to be able to get a really nice virtual reality headset and not have to give Facebook money.
I will say this. I think after Tuesday, a lot of these Facebook lockout things are going to start disappearing very fast, right? I think that I think Facebook is just cowering before the upcoming election, right, on new accounts.
Oh, interesting. That actually makes a lot of sense. I hadn't even thought of that angle.
Yeah, because they don't want to be like in the crosshairs, right? Yeah. So they're basically just banning anybody that makes an account at this point. Yeah. And I imagine that will just ease up the moment the election's over. But we'll see.
That's an interesting point. That we'll have to keep tabs on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else you want to get into before we get out of here, Leo?
No, I think we covered a lot of stuff.
But, yeah, this is a big show.
Big show. I'm excited for the upcoming week and play some more games and. Yeah,
it's been fun. I'm excited to be done moving.
Yeah.
That's like my only driving like focus right now is just like be finished moving.
Please. Yeah, next show, hopefully you'll be on a brand new connection, a brand new apartment. I'm excited to hear about it.
Well, I'm excited to tell you about it. So hopefully we'll get there. If you guys are excited to hear about it, send me an email, techyapodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us, techyapodcast, or look at our Facebook as also techyapodcast. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We love you, and go play some games.